Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the outstanding editors at the Kiplinger Washington Editors. They're the folks who produce the long-running, long-standing, since 1923, weekly publication, the Kiplinger Letter, the flagship of that family-owned, family-run, great American success story. The Kiplinger folks there, and they've been good friends of ours for a long time. We're in our 13th year of covering the Kiplinger Letter every week with Jim, more recently with our good buddy Jim Ostroff. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back. And,
Thank you.
You were off for a couple of weeks. I was off for a week or so. And,
right.
So it's good to have you back, good to get back in the swing of things.
Back in the saddle.
The top story has got to be, I mean, it's basically on everybody's lips these days, is the election's coming up in less than 50 days.
That's
and
right.
we've had some very interesting primary results recently, especially this week, Jim, with the Tea Party folks have really they're the political news these days, aren't they?
Well, they are, and I got to say the candidate O'Donnell in Christine O'Donnell.
Boy, that blew some folks away, didn't it?
In Delaware, she did the impossible. I mean, she beat Mike Castle in the GOP primary.
He's been a Republican a fixture, an icon in Delaware for 40 years.
And I mean, he's been there forever and ever. And the thing is that, and also, I mean, he has drawn a lot of support even from Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been governor. He's been a House member for many years. And people figured he was the shoo-in. But I got to say, you know, support for O'Donnell just kept growing right up to election
inside the state, but not with the established Republican Party.
No, because again, they're concerned, you know, elect someone like that, and we're sure to lose the Democrats. Even Karl Rove.
I know. I've been blown away by Karl Rove and also Charles Krauthammer.
Well,
Both of those guys have been down on O'Donnell. And I'll tell you something. I don't know much about her. I don't know about her past. I think she's got a little bit of baggage. But my goodness, you think the folks in Washington don't have some baggage?
I'm shocked to hear this. But the thing is, you know, there are many times that things. I mean, look at Obama's election. What I'm saying is, you may love the person, you may not, but it was improbable.
Yeah.
And things happen sometimes, and you can't say, well, that really does not make sense. They don't have the proper background.
Which is exactly why I think the Republican establishment is making a big mistake for rolling her under the bus now that she's got the nomination. I can't even believe that they're not getting behind her.
Yeah, well,
that they're giving up on her. Yeah. I think, I'll tell you what, Jim.
Yeah.
It shows the nation what's wrong with Washington when the Republican Party turns on one of their own, regardless of where she comes from, the way many in this establishment party have. And I'll tell you, to me, it is a perfect example of why we need the Tea Party.
Well,
the Tea Party, not just Republicans.
Well, of course, Kiplinger can't take sides in these, but I'll just say, but it just shows, in a way, it is an example of the situation because, again, you have not only lack of bipartisanship, but trench warfare. And what I mean is even intra-party.
Right.
But
that's the kind of thing, though, Jim, that makes people upset.
Well, I mean, it does, we've been upset a long time, though, at members of Congress and not doing a good job. But it's become more pronounced now. I'm saying even more pronounced now that you have members of your own party or their own party, depending on your position, saying no. Now, of course, the reason they're doing it is they're saying no, we don't. It's nothing against you personally, but we think this is not going to help us.
But
in November.
Jim, the thing is it was improbable that she would beat Castle.
Exactly.
And she did, so why would it be more improbable that she couldn't beat the Democrat?
The Democrat. Well,
That's the point that I'm making. And I just am really disappointed in those guys. And I'm not taking political sides here. I just think as a political strategy, it's a dumb move. And I think they're going to wind up ruining the day that they did that. We'll take a quick break. We're going to be right back and talk a little bit more about this and move on to some other things with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Letter. Stay with us.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out my website, and when you get a chance, and use it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff there. The archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members, the blog, the newsletter. Please subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. And don't forget to take our poll question. Every week it's a different question about this week's question is about the Internet. How much of your business comes from online sales? And so check that out. When you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. Great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the Kiplinger Letter, and that's Kiplinger.com, by the way, their website. Jim, we're talking about what's coming up with the election soon. It's generally accepted. This kind of worries, kind of makes me a little bit nervous because it's generally accepted that they're going that the Republicans are going to take the House.
That's what Kiplinger and many others believe.
It's the generally accepted wisdom, and they clearly are going to take some Senate seats, but whether they'll take them they'll need 10 seats to take the majority.
That's right. Which
and that's a big task. That's a tall order.
It is, and we as others believe the Democrats will retain control of the Senate, but just a tad.
But not control of not enough to have the supermajority.
No, they don't. Even right now, it's 59, and it probably we're talking here probably maybe 51, 52 seats at most for the Democrats. And the bottom line on this, again, this is Kiplinger's position on this, but others too, is if you feel that it's likely we're going to see a lot more stalemate in Congress in the next few months. Basically, over here, even there are some things that Republicans nominally support by the Democrats, particularly Obama's thing here for write-offs for business and small business. But before the election, the Republicans are won't support that. Afterwards, who knows? Because it's likely to be obvious that the American people have said they want to go in another direction, and there'll be a lame duck session of Congress because they must address, like for instance, the Bush tax cuts and all, which will probably extend for a year, by the way. But other than that, it's really unlikely a lot will be done soon.
One of the most interesting things coming up, though, Jim, is going to be the reconciling of the establishment Republicans with the Tea Party Republicans.
That will be very interesting.
It'll remind us, I think, of the establishment Democrats and the Blue Dogs.
Exactly. And it's like, you were elected. That is your official party, registration. They will be wary, but the thing is, in any event, in most cases, they need those people, to get things done.
Right.
And it will make interesting coalitions. Same as on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see.
Right. Jim, let's leave politics and move over to another topic. What's next? You want to talk about the SEC standards on fiduciary responsibility? Did you cover that?
No, actually, someone else did, but, you know, certainly I am familiar with it. And I should say, you know, we feel that Securities Exchange Commission will be tougher or apply tougher standards on, you know, fiduciary responsibility, you know, to broker-dealers.
Mm-hmm. And what is that going to mean for the average person, that they're going to get better representation, people who make investments through broker-dealers?
Well, supposedly it does mean that, and you might say more confidence or security by the people who make investments. But of course, it one never knows over here. I mean, it's basically what I'm saying. Things could slow down.
Right.
Yeah, things could slow down.
Anything else in that in the regulation section there the mark to market accounting rule change. A lot of people, that's really in the weeds for a lot of people. But I'll tell you what, folks, that mark-to-market rule was one of the things that just about took down our banking system.
Well, yes, it did. And again,
tell the audience what that means.
You know, the thing is, proposing a change here likely happened that require banks or companies to value their assets, at current prices, you know, rather than at some much a theoretical value in the future.
Well, or if I bought a house at say $100,000,
right,
and I continue to put that on my books at $100,000 when now it's only worth $75,000, well, I'm inflating the price.
Well, yeah.
Which I understand that, Jim. The part I don't understand is why they have to market like on a monthly basis almost. When some of these assets are subject to go up and down, to have fluctuations.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing here.
I think that was wrong.
I mean, they're just super cautious because, yeah, I mean, prices sometimes do fluctuate, you know, dramatically. I mean, the same like stock market or something, or commodities.
Right.
On a given day, it may be up, it may be down, but that's why most times people look at the, you know, the trends. It could mm-hmm. be, you know, the 3-month. 1 year, 5 year.
Right.
So it may be, and the point here is that it could well be much more onerous.
Right.
How do you know? All right, I'm complying with the law, and in short, I probably have to do due diligence, hire someone or outsource to find out what it is worth this month, next month,
and folks, I know this is in the weeds, but this is a big concern. That really got our banking system into a bind a couple of years ago. That they really need to look at. I know our good friend Steve Forbes was very critical of the mark-to-market system. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jim about how long Microsoft is going to support the XP operating system. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Kiplinger Letter is the one we're working with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's bringing us the report on the Kiplinger Letter. And folks, I encourage you to check out their website, kiplinger.com, and check out all the different things they have there, including their publications. The letter we have that we work off of every week, that's their weekly flagship. And then they've got two biweekly letters, the tax letter and the agricultural letter. And then you got a magazine, Jim, right?
Well, yeah, it's Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what about that phone number?
Here's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
Folks, check it out. And they got a 90-day free trial. Or 30-day free trial. I'm sorry. I tried for 90, but I only got 30 out of them. So
here we go.
So, Jim, one of the things that you guys report on this week is the transition from Microsoft, from their operating system, from Windows XP. We used XP Professional for years, and loved it, and resisted the Vista when it came out. We didn't go with that, we did. But now all of our computers are new. We've retooled this year, and everything's got 7, the new Windows 7 on it, and we like Windows 7.
Right, but the point here, of course, is that, you know, people who use Windows software or Microsoft software are going, effectively, we're going to have to buy the new operating system. The only reason being is that you know, Microsoft will only support the Windows XP for about another 4 years.
But, Jim, that's a long time. If you, let me tell you something. If you're a serious, if you're in business in a serious way, and you haven't upgraded your software, your hardware,
right,
in 4 years, then your equipment is holding you back.
Well, it pretty much, you need to do it every within 3 years.
That's about what we do. We we probably average 2.5 years,
mm-hmm,
overall with all the different computers we have. But it's usually about 3 years. That's, I mean, the ones I use, the computer I use, I usually keep it about 3 years or so. And but folks, it's not that they wear out. It's just that the new ones have so much more capability, so much more power. They're so much more efficient.
They do, and but the point here is that people and companies need to plan here.
Yeah.
Certainly, they always do. I'm buying replacement equipment. And the only thing here is saying, if you're one of those that says, oh, I can go for 5 years, well, you can't. And as you were saying, you probably shouldn't.
The hardware is not that expensive anymore, folks.
No,
and I'll tell you,
not.
It's such an important tool. And in my business, especially, Jim, and I'll tell you, I know you guys report that some people think 4 years is not generous enough. I'm not trying to defend Microsoft, but I'll tell you, 4 years from now to still be supporting XP, if from a business standpoint, from a supporting of a business computers, I think that's plenty long enough. And I encourage you to go to 7 as soon as you can, because we like it. We like 7. Jim, let's move over and talk about some of the other small business things there. You guys talk about forming local business alliances. Talk to us about this.
Well, yes. And this is what I'm saying here is these are organizations and not business trade associations, you know, per se. They're alliances, of independent businesses. And the point, the good thing here is that they offer, you know, members various services and benefits, whether but the key one here is the opportunity to buy health care coverage at a group rate. And, of course, there are things here such as buying various goods at a lower price, mm-hmm, because you're getting a bigger discount.
Of course, buying groups have been around for a long time,
and they
typically along vertical industry lines,
not
in terms of a marketplace,
right?
Or local folks, as much.
Right. And this is more local. And of course, they may serve as somewhat lobbyists on the state and local.
Well, and these are the kinds of things. And of course, one of the groups that we're talking about here, that without you guys mentioning it, you just basically described the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, it is, but the point here on these is a slightly different flavor in that you might say they are uber local, where, you know, I'm saying that even the state Chamber of Commerce might have a broader perspective.
Right.
But it may well be that the local Chamber of Commerce does many of these things.
Before you go, I'm going to say this, folks, because everybody knows I'm a staunch supporter of Chambers. I'm an out-of-control supporter of Chambers. I believe in them very much. Before you go forming your own system, which I think you have the right to do, make sure you can't get that from your local chamber. If you can't, mm-hmm, then start your own business alliance group. But first check with the chamber. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Welcome back. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Good
day, everybody.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back next week, actually. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.